It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we'll take a look at the rich history of Iranian films with the coordinator of the first ever Wisconsin Iranian Film Festival.
First, it's time for our weekly look at the top stories in national news, from President Trump's visit here to Wisconsin yesterday to the end of Bill O'Reilly's career at Fox News. It's been a busy week in national politics.
Craig Gilbert joins us now. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
Well, let's start with this breaking Bill O'Reilly news. He's been forced out of his position at Fox News, kind of the epicenter of national conservative news on television. Can you talk a little bit about what led up to his dismissal today?
Well, mounting allegations about sexual harassment and more and more reports of settlements involving charges of sexual harassment just created enough momentum and enough concern at Fox News to move them to, in the end, terminate Bill O'Reilly's tenure, a very, very successful tenure. He was the top host on cable news, and now he follows Megyn Kelly, another one-time huge Fox star, out the door. So it means a lot of changes for Fox News. I think in some ways you could have imagined Bill O'Reilly's audience sticking by him, but advertisers were leaving the show, and also reportedly there was kind of an uproar among employees and staff at Fox News, particularly women at the network, about the prospects of letting this stand. And all of those things, I think, contributed to the decision.
You mentioned Megyn Kelly leaving as well. Now Bill O'Reilly. How big a blow is this to the Fox News brand?
Well, we'll find out whether, you know, Fox News can keep delivering the same audience. It's been a pretty reliable audience without these big stars. They've already announced, I think, that Tucker Carlson is going to replace Bill O'Reilly. You know, it may be that Fox News is the kind of franchise that is almost like, you know, that guarantees an audience depending on what your time slot is at the network. But obviously, Bill O'Reilly was hugely successful for them, and was a huge hit with their viewers. So there's no guarantee that they can kind of replicate what he was bringing them. I think Fox News, I don't think anybody questions that Fox News is going to continue to be a revenue machine. But these things, you know, fluctuate. They fluctuate with the personnel. They also fluctuate with the political cycles.
We're talking with Craig Gilbert right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, taking stock of the top news in national politics. And speaking of politics, Craig, a House race in Georgia had a lot of drama this week.
It really did. And, you know, there's a lot of debate over how to interpret this outcome. This is a House seat that was opened up when President Trump selected Tom Price, the former congressman, a Republican, to be his health secretary. I mean, it's a really interesting district because President Obama lost the district by more than 20 points in the 2012 election. You would think that this is a super Republican district based on that, but Hillary Clinton only lost it by a couple of points. It's a very educated district, particularly for a Republican seat. And that worked against Donald Trump. As you remember, there was kind of an education divide in this election, and people, college-educated voters, tended to be less supportive of Donald Trump than voters that didn't have a college degree. And so this is the kind of district where Democrats really, you know, do need to make inroads if they have any prayer of taking back the House. And even though they didn't win, they came very close. The rules in Georgia are that if you get 50%, you're in. But if you fall short of 50%, then the top two candidates will be in a runoff. And so it was kind of a bullet dodged for the Republicans, because now they'll have a Republican candidate in the runoff, and they hope that they can sort of circle the wagons and marshal their support for this one candidate in a district that has a long history of voting Republican for Congress. On the other hand, it's a pretty sobering sign that Democrats came that close to winning, and it's gonna command a lot of attention and a lot of money over the next couple of months. But again, when you add that to some other special elections we've seen, there's certainly some cause for concern on the part of Republicans about, you know, what the midterms are going to be like, midterms that typically in the long history of American politics swing against the party in the White House.
Well, and President Trump got involved tweeting against Ossoff in the few days leading up to that election. Did that make a difference?
It's there's no way of knowing whether it, you know, prevented him from reaching 50% or whether it boosted him and as a result he came closer to 50% than he otherwise would have. I mean, the polling in the run-up to the election did not have him reaching 50%, so it's hard to argue that made a difference. Also, if you look at the fact that the Republican candidates that were most supportive of Trump in this crowded field of candidates didn't do very well. I mean, the Republican candidate that did the best among the Republicans and as a result is going into the runoff was not a huge vocal Trump supporter. So it's going to be really interesting to watch, you know, what the Republicans have to say about Donald Trump, not only in this race, but also just going forward as we head into the midterm cycle, how they're going to handle, you know, we don't know what President Trump's standing is going to be in 2018, but if it's anything like it is now and his numbers are negative and underwater, then you're probably going to see a lot of district-by-district decisions being made by Republican candidates and Republican incumbents about how supportive they are of President Trump's agenda.
And we've got a clip of John Ossoff speaking to supporters last night. Here it is.
We will be ready to fight on and win in June if it is necessary. And there is no amount of dark money, super PAC, negative advertising that can overcome real grassroots energy like this. So bring it on. Because we are courageous. We are humble. And we know how to fight.
And of course, it turns out it is necessary to fight on to June. And Democrats also lost a special House election, Craig, in Kansas last week. I mean, are these considered big blows for Democrats? Democrats who might have wanted the narrative, look at how much momentum we have going.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it in terms of the individual results of these districts, I mean, the Kansas district was probably a bridge too far. This was a district just based on how close they came in Georgia. Maybe a lost opportunity. Doesn't mean they can't come back and win it in June. But, you know, if the discussion is what do they tell us about the midterms, then they do tell us that Democrats have some reason for hope. And when you combine that with what typically happens in midterms, which is that the out party does really well, then I think any way you slice it, Republicans, you know, are going to have, you know, reason for concern going into this cycle. You know, it's interesting. Some Republicans are crediting Paul Ryan's PAC with helping sort of save the day in Georgia in terms of keeping the Democratic candidate from hitting that 50%, a kind of an infusion of late money. Paul Ryan has seen his polling numbers decline and just suffered a big defeat in the failure to get a health care bill passed. But one area where he has continued to kind of max out in terms and, you know, perform at a maximum level as House Speaker is fundraising for his party. He did it last fall, and, you know, as long as he remains Speaker, he's probably going to be bringing a lot of resources to bear in these individual races that are going to be really important to Republicans.
We're talking with Craig Gilbert right now, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the biggest national political stories of the week.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you think of these races, these special elections, a lot of national attention. Do you see tea leaves that we need to read in the outcomes we've seen so far? Also, what's your reaction to the news that Bill O'Reilly, as of today, is out at Fox after sexual harassment allegations and settlements? And tell us what you think of the upcoming House tax reform hearings and President Trump's visit to us here in Wisconsin.
Right now, we're taking a look at the biggest stories in national politics this week. Craig Gilbert is with us. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to some of the news stories of the week. Bill O'Reilly out at Fox. President Trump visiting us here in Wisconsin. His visit to Kenosha yesterday. The politics of the special congressional elections people have been watching lately. What do you think it means, if anything, for the overall race for Congress next year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller. We have Charlie joining us from Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've been an avid Fox News watcher for a while, and I've always been impressed that they tend to cover stories that the mainstream media seem to ignore. An example would be the rape situation that occurred at a Maryland high school with illegal immigrants, and no other network would cover the story. However, I am worried that they are doing a no-spin, so to speak, ignoring of the Bill O'Reilly. Have they ignored the Bill O'Reilly story? Are they fair and balanced with Bill O'Reilly? And is it really a no-spin zone situation, or are they really just becoming like everybody else in the fake news business?
Charlie, thanks a lot for those questions. And Charlie, Craig is a viewer of Fox News, and he's wondering if Fox has done enough to step up and sort of own what's happening there, maybe with the culture at Fox and specifically with Bill O'Reilly.
Well, I mean, I think that's a sort of a unfolding story. I mean, certainly before Bill O'Reilly, you had Roger Ailes, the force behind, creative force behind the network, also departing the network under similar circumstances. So there is that is now part of the history of Fox News, and I don't know how they're covering it today because I haven't been watching, but I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be an interesting evening of watching.
I'm going to move on to our next story now. News broke today that House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz announced that he's not going to be seeking office in 2018. How do you read this news?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation that he wants to run for governor in 2020. He said that's not his agenda. It's always, you know, unusual when somebody who's relatively young is walking away at a moment when he's got more power by virtue of the fact that Republicans control the House and they have unified control of the major levers of government in Washington. So that's one reason why it's kind of a surprising thing, because now this is sort of the opportunity, as Paul Ryan has said many times, that all Republicans have been waiting for, and he's got a powerful committee. He's relatively young. Utah is typically a fairly safe state for Republicans. Whether there are personal reasons or other reasons, or he just wants to take a break, he's not shutting the door on running again after 2018, but he's apparently not going to be on the ballot in 2018.
And let's look at some national news coming closer to home. President Trump was in Kenosha yesterday. He's got a full complement of Republican stars from Wisconsin here behind him. There was Senator Ron Johnson, Governor Walker, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, all there to see President Trump speaking in Kenosha. Why did President Trump go to Kenosha? Why pick there?
Well, this was his first trip to Wisconsin since he became president. He was in Wisconsin in December after the election, but since he became president, he did have another trip trip scheduled at one point that was canceled. But, you know, Wisconsin, of course, was one of the three states that make up the so-called blue wall that he broke through. Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, states that have been typically voting Democratic for president, that delivered the presidency to him. So in that sense, it sort of made sense for him. It's a natural place for him to return to. It also happened to be not only the home state of his White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus, but the home county of his White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus, also the congressional district of Paul Ryan. Even though Paul Ryan wasn't there, Paul Ryan has been traveling in Europe. He got a shout-out from President Trump. So, an interesting kind of convergence of factors here when you consider some of the players in the White House and in Republican politics today. It was also kind of interesting that there's a perception that President Trump has kind of gotten away from some of the populist themes and issues and even positions that he campaigned on. And I think the trip to Wisconsin was sort of in that more populist spirit. It was a theme that you heard a lot more about on the campaign trail than you have since, which is, you know, workers and jobs and trade and America first and hiring and buying American. It wasn't an earth-shattering action that he took yesterday in terms of the executive orders, but in terms of the rhetoric and the themes, it was kind of more of a return to the Donald Trump that we remember from the campaign trail.
And he did get into the debate about dairy policy, the tensions going on between the United States and Canada, hitting Wisconsin in particular. How big a surprise was that?
It was a surprise to me. I mean, you know, we're used to hearing him, kind of, blast away at China and Mexico, but he spent more time talking about Canada at this event. And it is a complicated dispute involving the pricing and of milk products that are being sold to Canada from and being produced in Wisconsin. But Donald Trump kind of waded right into this. It kind of fit. It fit his broader themes about America first, and he wasn't timid about it. This is not necessarily a partisan issue. These are parochial issues when you start talking about dairy and state economic interests like this one. It was an issue that Democrats and Republican members of Congress from Wisconsin have been outspoken about, And so Trump made that. I mean, it was really kind of, in some ways, a centerpiece of his visit, even though it wasn't expected to be.
Craig Gilbert is with us right now talking about the top stories, national politics this week. Craig Gilbert with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Craig, yesterday the U.S. announced that Iran is compliant with a nuclear deal brokered by former President Obama. What did the Trump administration say?
Well, during the campaign, of course, President Trump was extremely critical, like many Republicans have been, of the Iran deal. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't necessarily have a lot of options now going forward when it comes to the Iran deal. It would be very difficult for a lot of reasons to try to undo it. And you even heard in this announcement that, no claims being made that Iran is violating the terms of that deal, but some language also about, kind of reviewing, to what degree it was in our interests to go there, to do this. So I think it's kind of reflective in a broader sense of some of the sort of the cold, hard reality when it comes to some of the issues that President Trump campaigned on, including foreign policy issues, which where they are very thorny and very complicated. And it's one thing to kind of, crusade during the campaign, and this is true of people in both parties. It's one thing to sort of crusade on a particular issue as a candidate. It's another thing when you take office and you're kind of confronted with the real-world consequences of doing everything you want to do on a particular issue. It's not always clear that you can follow through on your campaign rhetoric.
And the U.S. has said that Iran is still a state sponsor of terrorism. Is the investigation into the effects of the sanctions, is that, do you think, a means to put political pressure on Iran in that respect?
Yeah, it may also just be, you know, kind of a way of trying to satisfy some of your constituencies within the party who have never been happy about the deal. But whether it actually leads to a reconsideration or a change in U.S. policy is another question.
And Craig, as we start to wrap up here, last week the White House announced it was sending a naval strike group to the Korean Peninsula. This was against a backdrop of mounting tension with North Korea. And now news broke that the fleet was actually heading in the wrong direction. What went wrong?
A lot of confusion and apparently some misleading statements about what was actually going on. I mean, we're told that the carrier is, in fact, now or eventually going to be headed in that direction, but it wasn't at the time these statements were made. So a very confusing episode. I think it was confusing not only to people here, but to people in South Korea. And just kind of a strange and unsettling, note in what is a very strange and unsettling situation vis-a-vis North Korea, where you've got, you know, a country that is incredibly isolated and just kind of operating under its own, in its own domain, in ways that are very worrisome to the rest of the world. At the same time, they're responding to what they perceive as threats from other countries, particularly the U.S. And so sorting that out and also sorting out the implications for the U.S.-China relationship as President Trump is trying to put pressure on China and looking to China to sort of sort this out, and China's kind of saying, well, this is really up to the U.S. To try to stabilize the situation in North Korea. But whatever you do, you know, we don't want a war in our backyard.
And we leave it there. Craig, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
That was Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.